Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about it's not just getting a star in the NBA, it's getting the right star who's the hardest worker in the locker room because of the NBA locker rooms are so small. A star player can have massive impact on the court, off the court. And it's why Jalen Brunson is a fascinating player for the Knicks. Eddie House, Fox Sports, 7 playoffs in 11 years, couple of finals appearances. Brunson's interesting because he got that chip because second-round guy, Dallas let him go. And when you watch him, when Julius Randle got hurt, it's like, oh, now the offense, he doesn't have to get anybody touches. It's him and a bunch of kids. Are the Knicks a viable playoff team, or are they just too Jalen Brunson dependent to do anything?
No, I think they're definitely a viable playoff team. Number one, they worked themselves into that second slot. You know, if we go back a few weeks ago, they were hovering around the mid-pack of the playoffs and things like that, and they just hit that corner. The OG Anunoby, they're 20-3 since he came over. One thing about the New York Knicks, they play defense and they get after it. They play hard in those defense, and then they test your discipline. With their offense, they test your defensive discipline, and then how they play defense, they test your offensive discipline as well. And I think that the team just flows better with Julius Randle out. I said that earlier today on Carton, and it kind of sounds crazy with Julius Randle being an all-star type player. You wouldn't think that taking him away that opens up the floor and makes the offense flow a whole lot better. They're extremely tough, and I think moving up in the second slot. The second seed with all the momentum they got. I think they got the most momentum going into the playoffs, and that counts for something.
Well, you had Doc Rivers. You know him well. Now Giannis is hurt. Indiana plays fast. Halliburton's virtually unguardable. Milwaukee's in a weird spot where, you know, they fire a coach, had a winning record. They bring in Doc. The Dame thing hasn't been ideal. Does it feel like to you, with Boston's emergence, the Knicks playing the best basketball, Dallas, Denver, does it feel like to you the Bucks window? This is an old, old team without great first-round draft capital. That, Eddie, sometimes these windows, they close, and they close really quickly. Boston's is going to be open for 6 years. Denver, 6 years. OKC's is about to open. Your takeaway on the Bucks right now going forward?
And they did exactly the opposite of what the Knicks did. The Knicks played themselves into the second. They lost their way to the third seed. You know, I think they're 17-19 since Doc's taken over. I can't quite put my finger on this team except two things. They lose Jrue Holiday, And nobody talks about how they lost Grayson Allen. Those were two tough perimeter defenders. Now, and you look at this clip, look at their offense. Everybody's standing right next to each other, or they're standing still. Their offense doesn't flow, and I think it all stems from their defense. They have no defensive continuity because Brook Lopez is not the same Brook Lopez of 2 years ago because they don't have the same perimeter defense. The perimeter defense is getting killed, and they're putting a lot of pressure on Brook Lopez, who I feel has lost a step or two, especially his lateral movements, not the same. So that you're able to attack them because he's going to stay in that drop coverage, and with that drop coverage, they're not fighting over the screen like Jrue Holiday fought over the screen. They're not fighting over the screen like Grayson Allen was fighting over the screen consistently. Now, they brought in Patrick Beverley, and it just hasn't made a change. I think that they allowed their lack of defense to affect their offense. There's just no continuity there. Also, I don't know, it could be something going on in that locker room where guys just aren't all the way together on the same page, because it is weird. I won't say that their window is closed, but that thing coming down right now, for sure.
So J-Mac and I talked about this. Oklahoma City's future is amazing, but they're 22-year-old kids. This is the youngest playoff team. We saw the Packers in the NFL playoffs. They're you can just tell they're a year away. And OKC, let's say they got matched up with the Lakers or an older team, like a Warriors. I tend to lean with veterans in the playoffs. They manipulate the refs. They manipulate the whistle. They manipulate older guys have been around this league. They just, in situational basketball, are better than young teams. How do you view OKC? What if they get bounced in a seven-game series in the opening round? Is it a failed season?
I would say it wouldn't be a failed season. I don't think that nobody expected them to be there. So they already exceeded their expectations that everybody had coming into the season. I would say with what they have done, if I had a vote, I would vote SGA for the MVP, because nobody expected them to be number one. Yeah, you probably the bottom half of the, maybe five, six, somewhere around there, maybe four, if they got hot and got lucky a few games. But to be number one and be floating at the top of the Western Conference all season long, and SGA balling the way he has, I would say that it wouldn't be a failure, maybe in their eyes, because it looks like they believe. They believe in their coach. They play together. They have trust with one another and trust within their coach. The one thing about it is you don't know until you get there, right? So I lean towards experience as well. But the one thing about these young players, they haven't been there, but maybe they don't care. And maybe having that reckless, don't care type of approach to the game, maybe that helps them get over the hump in a seven-game series against a tough veteran team. So I'm not going to count them out. You got to believe what you see all season long. You don't stay at the top of any conference in the NBA without being a real basketball team.
Yeah. So here we go. Is it the end? Warriors, Steph, or LeBron? LeBron and Steph have been in 11 finals in 13 years. It does feel like to me that the league is now making a pivot. Is that outside of Milwaukee, Boston's younger, players in their prime. Denver's younger. OKC's younger. The T-Wolves' best player is a kid. And I'm looking at the Hardens and the LeBrons and the Stephs and the Clays and Draymond. I kind of feel like this point forward, it's a new league. It's more international. It's more young stars and young teams. Do you think Steph and LeBron's teams are viable? Or maybe last year and the year before when the Warriors stole that Celtics final? Is the league moving on? And I'm talking like playoff success on from Steph and LeBron.
I mean, it sort of looks like it, to where they're in the playing game. You wouldn't expect with the roster that they got constructed, you know, pretty much the same guys coming back. And they're in the playing game, right? One has got to win two games to get the eighth seed. So when I look at it in that light, the way you gave me that question, I do got to say that it looks like the league is kind of pivoting from that. But I would never bet against neither one of those teams. Like LeBron with a triple-double yesterday. I mean, come on. And you got to be careful. You got to listen to what LeBron say, because he is very cryptic. He said, I have to do everything. And I think that was lightweight a shot at the rest of his teammates.
Yeah.
Like, man, I got to assist. I got to rebound. I got to play defense. I got to score. I need some help. And I think that was a subliminal shot to them. But as long as he's on the floor, you can't count them out. Anthony Davis got to be healthy. As long as Steph Curry's on the floor And by the way, the last couple weeks, I would say this, that the Golden State Warriors have been playing their best brand of basketball. I think Klay Thompson finally, after dealing with two lower extremity injuries, the Achilles and the knee, finally has his legs underneath him. It takes a long time for that trust to come. And while you're trying to get that trust, you're still trying to work on your game. I think he's got his legs and the trust of his legs. Now the rest of his game is starting to come around. He looks like himself. He's getting shots in the way that he normally gets shots, in the position that he gets shots. And he looks like he's starting to move a whole lot better and trust his game. So I would never count those two guys out. But the league is in a fantastic place. All them guys you named, I mean, talk about Orlando and their young players they got. Paolo Banchero, I mean, he's a baller. I mean, the league is in a great place right now with young talent.
Is there, finally, you do Celtics games, is there one Eastern team that maybe not beats Boston, but matches up well, that they could give them headaches? I mean, Indiana could be a matchup problem for everybody. But is there a team you look at and think, yeah, they match up with Boston pretty well?
I would say the Knicks is probably the most dangerous team right now, just the way they're playing. Number one, they're super physical. On Thursday, they played the Celtics and out-rebounded us by 16. I think it was 17-2, second chance points, something like that. They really get after it. Since adding OG Anunoby, their defense identity has changed. Brunson puts a lot of pressure on you with the pick and roll. I think that game on Thursday, the Celtics were able to get some footage on how they'll give him different looks. You can't give him the same look. But I have to say that it is the Knicks, just on the fact that they're playing the best basketball in the league right now. They have all the momentum going in, and they believe, they play hard, and they're just super, super physical.
Eddie House, first things first after us. As always, good seeing you, man.
Yep, thanks for having me, man.
You bet. The Knicks are interesting because they're not terribly functional offensively when Jalen Brunson's not on the floor, much like the Warriors without Steph, not really functional. So the offense in Golden State has to go through Steph, in New York has to go through Brunson. But, you know, in the regular season, what's great about the playoffs, J-Mac, and this is why we like it, it looks different. Major League Baseball in the playoffs, maybe the crowds are bigger. In the NFL, there's more intensity. NBA basketball, playoff basketball does not feel like regular season basketball. It doesn't at all.
Yeah, and that's why I'm reluctant to keep saying stuff like, oh, the Lakers smashed the Pelicans three times in the regular season, beat them. I think their three wins were each by 10 or more points. It was like handily beating them. And I don't know. Postseason's different. I mean, Zion Williamson, did you see his effort in the season finale Sunday? He was barely trying. He had like 8 points. I don't think we're going to see that in the play-in, right? He's going to be a different guy. Postseason, different animal, Colin.
Yep.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
J-Mac with the news.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Let's start with the Bills, and they moved off Stephon Diggs this offseason, trading him to the Texans. Draft is less than two weeks away. Buffalo probably going to get a receiver early, but what about with the 28th pick? Von Miller posted this AI-generated clip of Buffalo's GM with the caption, Brandon Bean arriving to the 2024 NFL Draft to trade up for a receiver. In Bean we trust. I saw this clip everywhere over the weekend. Not just Bean. People did it with the guy from the Masters, Scheffler.
Is this AI work?
Yeah, it's AI work. AI's getting dangerous, man. It's really good.
Is that what AI can do?
Oh, dude, have you seen some of the other clips? Oh, insane. Yeah, it's really impressive. Bills trading up for a receiver? Trading up for a receiver?
I wouldn't. I think there's so many good receivers. I was talking to somebody in the league this weekend, just texting him, talking. And I mentioned a certain receiver, and he's like, way too high. You'll get him in the third. And I'm like, is that guy in the third?
Wait, was that Ladd McConkey, by any chance?
Georgia.
He's got a... Huh?
Georgia. Good player.
Yeah, but he's got a lot of chatter that he may be like a early second round pick. I don't necessarily see it. I'm just making sure he's not out there. So the guy that I'm kind of into, usually with the draft, when you don't hear people talking about him, that's when there's real buzz, right? They don't want it out there. Keep an eye on Devontae Walker, the kid from UNC who was catching passes from Drake May. Weirdly, not a lot of buzz. Looks the part. I mean, he's like jacked. He didn't play a lot because of some beef with the NCAA, but just keep an eye on this kid. Would not be shocked if Buffalo took a gamble. He's like Gabe Davis, but can run better routes.
I like it.
Buffalo needs a receiver badly.
Oh, no, they arguably need two. Yeah, I mean, they got tight end, running back, quarterback, O-line's okay, lost their center. It's a great center draft, but they, I mean, Buffalo's got some questions. They have to go out and get a corner.
Who do you think gets second in the division, Buffalo or Miami?
Second in the division?
Yeah, first is Jets. So we know that.
Well, Buffalo's going to win the division. Oh. If Aaron plays 17 games, if Aaron Rodgers plays 17 games, I think the Jets have a chance at two.
Have a chance. So yeah. We put the. Let's not do steak dinners anymore. You owe me too many. We'll just start the slate fresh. We'll do like a. What do we do? Like a, you do ice cream? Do you not?
Can't do ice cream, unfortunately.
Gosh. We need something to wager that the Jets will win the division because they are. Have you seen the roster? It's stacked. It's so good.
If Aaron plays, it's a good team.
The Bills and the Dolphins lost a lot of guys.
Bills are a better team.
Anyways, let's move to the NBA. Oh, this is fun. This is really good. So Jamal Murray was asked about NBA duos, and he believes he and Jokic are the best duo in the league. In an interview with USA Today, Murray said the Nuggets duo is undoubtedly number one ahead of LeBron and AD, Giannis and Dame, Luka and Kyrie. So we thought we'd do our top five, Colin. Here are mine. Okay. Obviously, Jokic and Murray, defending champs, number one. I have Luka, Kyrie, two. When they play together, it's game over. LeBron and AD, three. I have Tatum and Brown, four. I'm sure you don't even have them on your list. And then I have KD and Booker, five. The only reason I don't have Giannis and Dame on there is because the little I saw this year, I didn't like. Now, you could argue they've had two coaches. That's unfair. The talent's there, but I'm sorry. They didn't just miss out, along with Fox and Sabonis.
All right, so what's my here's my, do we have mine yet? I filled one out, maybe. Yeah. Okay,
oh. Oh, you do have Tatum and Brown on there. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I have them a slot higher than you. I have Embiid and Maxey.
No Luka, Kyrie on top duos?
Well, I'd like to see them, they're six. You know how much I like Maxey. So I get a big and a guard. You just get two ball-centric shooters.
This is not NBA Jam 2-on-2, man. This is like
I like the best getting some diverse. League. I like diversification in my portfolio. Mm. So I think Embiid, the classic center, and Maxey, the dynamic guard. Yeah, I mean, I think we mostly agree. You have, I mean, you love Luka and
what
Kyrie.
What about PG-13 and Kawhi?
Say what?
Paul George and Kawhi.
That I replace them with Embiid and Maxey.
Fair.
And then Luka and Kyrie. I still listen. I know Luka's great. I want to see him in the playoffs. I can't wait to watch the Mavs-Clippers because I think the Clippers tend to be a little odd and inconsistent where I kind of think Luka and Kyrie. But you have to be careful about late season winning streaks. So here's two things. The bad teams don't mind losing. So if you play 11 games at the end of the season and seven are non-playoff teams, those teams don't mind losing, if you know what I'm saying. And the other teams, the good teams, may very well, if they have seeding locked, not play all their stars. So I'm always a little suspicious when a team like Dallas rolls in their last 18 games. Do they play winning teams? Are they playing tanking teams? Are they playing teams they'd meet in the playoffs? You have to be careful in the NBA about that. It's you and I know. You get 20 games left in the end. This is not the NFL. Suddenly, substitution patterns, teams rest people.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But also, the Mavs made some moves at the deadline. They had basically two new starters.
Yes.
That they did not have for the first half of the season.
They're a much better defensive team than a year
100%.
Ago.
100%.
Totally
the
different
numbers bear that out. By the way, eighth best duo, Wembanyama and McIntyre. We could probably be dominant just with
Wembanyama. They won 22 games. It just goes to show you get the best prospect ever in the NBA, arguably. But certainly on a short list. 22 wins. And that's the difference between the NFL and NBA draft.
Okay.
You get CJ Stroud and Will Anderson. The Texans go from the laughing stock of the league to playoffs and a playoff win over a good Cleveland team in the AFC. I mean that's why the NFL draft is insane. This NBA draft has like three players people like.
Well, it's not great. There's no Wembanyama in it.
No, there's
We need Wembanyama good fast because I don't want to hear any more of this OKC Denver stuff. I am all in on Wembanyama, by the way. Do you love him or not?
Well, he's a transcendent kid.
So fun to watch.
He's great, great. He doesn't look or play like anybody else on the planet.
All right, final story is the Paperclips are set to host the Mavs in the first round of the playoffs. I'm still waiting for you to text me that you got us tickets to this game. I mean, this is must-see TV. But they could be without Kawhi Leonard. Has not played this month. Colin, knee inflammation, status uncertain. I mean, Ty Lue says, hopefully Kawhi will be ready for game. This is every year, is it not?
Steve Ballmer, a very intense guy, not known for patience. Aren't you over this?
Well, Kawhi did play in 68 games. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
By far and away the most since 2017,
yes. Third most in his career.
I'm over it. Paul George, I get an effort. I get more games. He's not as enigmatic.
So Kawhi's locked in. They signed him to a deal, a bit of a team-friendly deal, which is understandable from Kawhi. If they lose to the Mavs, we'll see what happens with Paul George and James Harden. I don't know. You go into the new building.
Steve Ballmer was legendarily demanding and impatient at Microsoft. This is not working. And they have not played great basketball.
A little unlucky.
Unlucky?
But, yeah, they're in trouble. I don't see how they beat the Mavs.
Now, just be careful about Dallas being red hot. Have you inspected who they're beating?
I have not done that, but it doesn't matter. They have the best player in the series in Luka Doncic.
They do.
You want to go to a clip? Let's go to a Paperclips Mavs game.
I would go to a Clipper Mavs game. I would go to that. Absolutely.
Right. No, last time you announced a game, they hooked you up with tickets. Can you use your superpowers to make that happen?
Do you still have a sunburn from the seats you sat in at the Crypto Arena? You were so close to the sun.
Awful seats. I mean, yeah. I'm excited for that series. That's the best, I think the best. Nuggets, Lakers.
You should have seen my UFC seats.
Were they good?
Ooh, smoking. Well, you think I'm going to go sit upstairs? Come on. J-Mac for the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Dana hooks me up, but I got to tell you something. You know, the only downside when I go to UFC, so whatever they do, and it's probably a safety precaution, that you can't take pictures or video and send it out during the fight. I can never. So I always think, you know, when somebody furnishes me with great seats, I want to show people, you know, this is awesome. And I can do it before or after. But for whatever reasons, while I'm at the UFC fight for 3.5 hours, none of my stuff gets out of the building. My guess is it's a safety precaution.
No, it's they want people to buy the pay-per-view. But wait, so you're telling me you don't take pictures of food, but you want to flex, look at my seats at
UFC. No. I'm showing people, like, I like people to see the experience. I'm not showing them, I'm not filming during the fight.
Right.
I'm watching the fight. But when fighters come out, where I'm sitting, you see guys walk right past me. I want to give people, like, hey, look at this, man. This is great. But I think you're right. They shut it down, so you have to buy the pay-per-view, which I don't blame them for doing.
What do they do? They collect your phones?
No, it's just when I push my video, I'll take like these 30, 40-second things showing people the celebrities. And every time I go to UFC, because, you know, I get good seats, I want to show everybody. This is great.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fun, right? But I can't, they don't. Something's wrong with my wife tried. She's like, I can't get my stuff. Now, after the fight, next morning, before the fight, you show, but during the fight. Yeah. I don't know the reason for it. But generally, if somebody furnishes me with a seat, and I don't do a lot of that, but when if they do it,
I don't even know where this was. Was it ESPN Plus? They want people to subscribe to that.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which I do about 3 or 4 times a year. I buy, you know, this is my fourth UFC fight, and then I buy 4 or 5 or whatever. So,
but I gotta say, this whole streaming stuff is starting to get frustrating because there's so many different.
No,
ones.
It drives me nuts.
And I don't want to pay $4.99 to rent a movie.
I would rather buy a UFC pay-per-view. A one-off, I don't mind doing that at all. I don't want to be on 32 streaming services.
It's a problem.
If I want something, I'll just go buy UFC. I'm good. I do that all the time. I'm totally comfortable with it. I don't want 13 streaming services.
Yeah. It's just confusing.
I will pay for a great sporting event. If I had to pay for the NFL draft, that's an interesting topic. You pay for in sports? And I would pay for the Super Bowl, both conference. I would pay for playoff games. I'd pay for you. I do pay for UFC. I would pay for some NBA game 6s and 7s in the playoffs. Well, I would pay for big college football games.
So you would pay for the NFL draft?
Yeah, I would.
Interesting.
At least the first 2 days.
Some reporters leaked the picks before they're even announced on TV.
Yeah, but I
want
to watch it. I like the analysis. I would have paid for a couple UConn games and then the Caitlin Clark game. There's stuff I'll absolutely pay for. But there's a lot of stuff. You know, I've been my whole life, I bought fights. So I kind of feel like I do that 5-6 times a year. I just don't buy fights. I buy UFC now. Anyway, wrap it up next, The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut. The new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes.
And me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
High, medium, low. We're going to play a game here. NBA postseason pressure cooker. Is the pressure high? You got to win. You got to make a championship run. Is it medium? You can't be one and done, but there's realistic expectations. Or is the pressure cooker pretty low? Nobody thinks you're a championship team. You ready to go? NBA postseason pressure cooker. You ready?
Yes, sir. What level of pressure is on Steph Curry and the Warriors?
I think it's medium for this reason. They've had so much success. Many believe that Celtics championship was sort of icing on the cake. But they weren't a viable team after that. Six finals, 8 years. We kind of know they need to make a big pivot. You don't want to be ousted in the play-in, but I think it's pretty medium.
All right, what level of pressure is on De'Aaron Fox and the Kings?
Again, there's some pressure because they disappointed last year, but I think it's medium. They haven't won a playoff series in 19 seasons. So I think people have come to terms with OKC's future's better, Denver's better now, T-Wolves better now. I think there's pressure, but it's limited.
All right, let's get to pressure. How much of it's on LeBron and the Lakers?
I think it's high because LeBron had the most fourth quarter baskets in the league. Is he going to do that again in year, what, 22? AD, by the way, J-Mac, was healthy all season, played 75 games. Are we going to run that back? Is that going to happen again? I don't know if D'Lo's in the future. What about Darvin Ham? I mean, if they get bounced badly in the first round or the play-in, you don't think there's going to be...
Even if it's by Denver?
If it's ugly, five games, four not competitive, I think there's pressure on the Lakers. AD, 75 games this year. It's been great, but I don't think history tells you you can't rely on them.
All right, what level of pressure is on Zion and the Pelicans?
Medium. Again, I don't even think they match up with the Lakers particularly well. They have one playoff series win over the last 16 years, 15 years. Again, I think they're just happy that Zion's available now. I think it's a football city, tempered expectations.
All right, what level of pressure is on KD and the Suns?
I think it has to be high just because of age. Beal's been hurt. They played well recently, but KD has a history of injuries. You have one great player in their prime, and it's Booker. You know, they don't have a bench, so there's limitations, and they're the third oldest team in the league. But, I mean, old teams like a Milwaukee or Phoenix, you got to win now. So I think it's high.
What level of pressure is on Luka and the Mavericks?
You would think it would be higher, but I think because of Denver and Boston, there's an understanding that at best they're the third best team in the league. So I'd say it's medium. They can't get ousted. I don't think they'll get ousted. And Luka is the best pure scorer. I think everybody's very satisfied with this. All right. The Kyrie issue's been solved. And 6 months ago, we didn't know if this thing was going to work. Now it's cooking. So I think if they beat the Clippers, they can battle in the next series for six or seven. I think you go away saying, love our future.
OKC would be awaiting in the second round. That's a Dallas win. What level of pressure's on Kawhi and the Paperclips?
It has to be high. It's an old team. They're not getting healthier. You're moving into a new arena. I mean, Westbrook off the bench has been one of the things I love. You know I love Paul George. But, I mean, Kawhi played 68 games. That's the most he's played since, like, 2017. It could get worse. Harden's been, you know, typically the enigma on every team. So I think they have to win. I think Ballmer's supposed to be impatient guy. We think he likes this if Kawhi doesn't play in the Dallas series and they get beat in five games?
Probably not. What level of pressure is on Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves?
Medium. They can't get one and done because they had too good of a season. The big contracts with them start next season, and I do think they're going to move Karl Anthony Towns. They figured out the Gobert situation. They can't be one and done, but if they won a series and then lost in seven in the next series, nobody's getting fired.
Well, they're playing the Suns, so like, is there any
harm? If they win that series, you're fine.
And if they lose?
Then it's a different ballgame. So that's why they have medium pressure, not low.
Okay, what level of pressure is on Jokic and the defending champion Nuggets?
I think they're viewed high because I think they're viewed as the best starting five in the NBA last year and this year. Again, you could say because they won, but if you have the best player in the league and the best duo in the league, and you have, I mean, I think we could acknowledge they are very good in clutch time games. They're basically Boston, except we trust them more. That's what they are. They're not as deep as Boston. They're the Celtics, but we trust them more. So I think the pressure is pretty high that they need to get to the championship.
We saved the youngest for last. What level of pressure is on SGA and the Thunder?
Super low. Do you know this is, I think it's the youngest team to be a number one seed.
Yes.
Ever.
Ever.
They have the second least experience of any playoff team. I think if they go in and I just don't think young teams outside of the bubble do well. I think if they went seven games in the first round and lost, I think you'd say this is the natural step or progression.
As a one seed?
Yeah, but you got not all one seeds are the same. Remember, okay. Duncan in his prime with the Spurs, they weren't always a one seed.
Okay, so if OKC loses in the first round.
A seven-game series.
Six, seven, whatever. Does the GM say, I don't know, we can't just run this back. Why don't we open up that war chest of picks and go after Donovan Mitchell, Karl Anthony Towns? Do we go after a big star?
I think they like, OKC is a small market. They love their college football, their college basketball. If you are a consistent playoff team in that market, you're selling tickets. That's the big show in town. I think Sam Presti and that organization has an unbelievable future. They've got a star in SGA. They've got their version of Wemby. They got a war chest of picks. I think if I told you, if I had to bet on two teams the next 10 years, I'd take Denver Celtics next five. I'd take OKC next 10. And there you go. Pressure cooker. Yeah, Phoenix is just weird because they have played well later,
yeah,
but they're so inconsistent.
Remember how Devin Booker, 2 years ago was considered the best young American guy, and now Anthony Edwards passed him? Head to head is going to be very interesting in this series.
Remember how good Booker was for about eight games in the playoffs last year? Remember that he had that streak?
Well, what about when they went to the finals? I mean, he was unbelievable.
Yeah. No, he's a great scorer. There's a little bit of Luka where I don't think Luka's a great athlete or Booker's this world-class twitchy athlete. They're just guys that walk into an arena and you can get 38 on any given night. He's a great scorer. Great, great scorer. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. First things first is around the corner on a Monday. Live in L.A., it's Ben the Herd.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.